چرا این داره؟ چرا این؟
Good evening. I invited everybody to sit because I think if we had done this, the round standing, it would have taken quite a bit of time. I am actually not the chair of this committee. The chair is Dr. Luciano Busuttil, but he's caught up in traffic or in something, so I'll have to fill in. May I just start by introducing my colleagues here? I'll start from the Honorable Dr. George Pulicino, Honorable Frederick Azzopardi, and Honorable Francis Zadmi Dumek, who come from the opposition side, Honorable Godfrey Farrugia, and Honorable Anthony Ajustichelis. They come from the government side. Dr. Farrugia is our whip. My name is Michael Falzon, and I'm a member of the Foreign and European Affairs Committee. First of all, welcome. We're very much pleased to have you here. I had a look at what you would like to ask us. One of the topics is rather my baby, about elections. I was election manager for the Labour Party for, I forget the years, but since 1992. But we are here to listen to what you have to say, and we'll try and help you. I would like, first of all, to do the formal part. Welcome. I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry. Excuse me.
I hope the most of us can understand, and if you have a special question, we take the service of the interpreter.
Okay. Okay, so I'll just do the formal part. Thank you for coming. It's a pleasure to have you here. Mr. Ralf Geisthardt, the delegation of the Members of Parliament of the State of Sachsen-Anhalt of the Federal Republic of Germany. Please excuse my German if I'm not pronouncing it correctly. Unfortunately, the weather has not been so nice for you, but maybe it will get better. But however, on our part, I would like to note the rate played by all state parliaments. Ours is not a federal system. It's too small for that. And then I think I've said it all. I think we best get down to business. May I once again welcome you. And please excuse my German pronunciation. We're very much pleased to have you here.
Mr. Chairman, many thanks for the invitation and for the possibility to meet you here and to speak about interesting questions about the politics in Malta and the international questions. At first, I think all of our members of the committee say her name and the party and the function in the committee, and we begin with him.
My name is Wolf Dallert. I'm from the Left Party, and I'm the vice president of the Parliament of Sachsen.
Petra Wulle, I'm from the Labour Party, and I'm the speaker for European Affairs of my party group.
Herr Höffelmann, I'm also from the Social Democratic Party, and I'm the member of the committee for the SPD.
Deutsch, bitte.
Ja. Mein Name ist Markus Kurze. Ich bin der europapolitische Sprecher der CDU-Landtagsfraktion und gleichzeitig auch parlamentarischer Geschäftsführer.
He is the parliamentarian secretary of the fraction and European Affairs Speaker.
Mein Name ist Sturm. CDU-Fraktion, ebenfalls Europaausschuss.
Christian Party and member of the committee.
Ulrich Siegmund, yes, from the national, I don't know what's in English.
Alternative for Germany.
Yes, from the Alternative for Germany itself. New force in our parliament. Strong force.
Mein Name ist Daniel Rausch, ich bin von der Alternativen für Deutschland und ich bin im Ausschuss Bund und Europa in Gelegenheit.
Hier ist ein colleague from the same party.
My name is Dorothea Frederking, I belong to the Green Party and I'm busy for agriculture, politics and energy politics and I belong to the committee of European.
My name is Hans-Thomas Tilschneider, and I'm also from the Alternative for Germany, from this party, which I would translate into Malti as Partit Nationalista. And I think
Donner Excellencia, you know.
I'm the German ambassador for Kupfenträger, no party affiliation.
You're the intelligent one.
And so you see, we have five parts of parties in our parliament, and it's a very interesting situation in all things to bring a good politics for the people after the last election. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thank you. I can assure you we only have two parties, but it's very interesting. At times, too interesting. Yes. I think for the, almost the past 50 years, there has only always been two parties here, and probably the next 50. Yes. It depends whether we change our constitution and electoral system. Well, anyway, I mean, we're here to hear whatever you like to ask, and I don't know if we want to make it formal, but I think best start from your end. And whatever you like to ask, we have a very diverse, excuse me please, may I welcome Honourable David Ajous. He's a member of Parliament, obviously, and he's the whip from your party, from the Partit Nacionalista. Because he has said...
I prefer to be the CDU.
Okay. he's the party whip for the opposition. And I said, if I may just make very, very brief, just to give you our main interests. Honourable George Policino was a minister for many years, mainly planning, agriculture, and those were his main interests. Honourable David Ajous is, as I said, the whip for the opposition. Honourable Frederick Atsopardi, a fellow of Godzitten, member of parliament who comes from the sister island of Gozo. Honourable Francis Damid Demek, also a member of parliament with quite a history as minister, education, culture, tourism, foreign affairs, a seasoned politician, unfortunately, from the other side. We contest the same district as well. Honourable Anthony Ajous, the chair, is the chairman of the Social Affairs Committee. He's been in the party for a long time, and as I've already introduced, Honourable Dr. Godfrey Farrugia, who is our party whip. So we have our backgrounds. Oh, myself, I come from the Labour Party. I've been a member of parliament for the last 8.5 years. I was parliamentary secretary for planning and simplification of processes for the last, for a period of around 2 years. But I've been involved within the party mainly with elections for the last 25 years. I think I've said enough. The floor is yours, please.
Thank you very much. We have, any questions prepared for you? And so was the information from the embassy that you had received our questions. But we want to interest for an overview of the actual political situation in Malta, and especially in the form of the new presidency in the next year. And in the main problems with the financial crisis and the crisis of refugees in the sea and some other problems. And after them, I think any members of our committee will have special questions, and I hope we have a good discussion in this forum. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Excuse me. Yes.
Excuse me. One question which is interesting for the delegation, which I have asked me yesterday, is also about the high turnout in elections in Malta, because we don't know that from Germany, and we will see today in the United States it won't be very high either. Everybody is fascinated about this high turnout. How does that come about? I think that was also one of the questions. I couldn't answer it, actually, really.
I can answer that. First of all, one has to appreciate that this is a two-party system for the last 50 years. And for the last 50 years, well, excluding the last election, margins have tended to be relatively tight. We had elections which were won by 1,500 votes. That was way back in 2008. It's a two-party system. The parties are geared up a lot, which is good. It's a system of democracy, after all. It's a question of, well, I don't know if anybody is involved in elections here. It's a question of getting out the vote. The parties act as the main players during the electoral process. We do have an independent electoral commission, but the parties are omnipresent throughout the whole process. And though the parties are precluded from canvassing on election day and on the day prior to election, we have what we call the day of silence. On election day, the parties are very much motivated. So basically, we have the 90 minimum. I think the least it was for the last 40 years was around 94%. We've had instances of 97%, 96%, 95%, 94%, 92%. It's been like that. One thing which we have in our electoral law is that the parties are allowed to take the list at the end of the process of the persons who did not vote. It's never been used for political reasons. But I mean, I think in today's age it is a bit of a stick to the carrot or a carrot to the stick, whatever you like. But people still go and vote. They do it. They come from abroad to do it. The parties make sure that everybody goes out. It's a question of getting out the vote. And people are interested in politics as well, to be very honest.
If I may add, it's also our system that helps us as well, because our system is a single transferable vote system. So when you're voting for a candidate, for a particular member, you are automatically voting for the party. But I, as a person, I, as a candidate, has to make sure that I get more votes than my colleague in my same party, so that I will get elected, and besides my party get elected to parliament and to government, I will have also to drive my way through to get as many number one votes as possible before my other colleague gets much more votes than I will get. But the system is that I have to work together with my colleague, because if he doesn't get enough votes, then his votes, number one, will go to the number two votes in that list. And that will help the other candidate, I as a candidate, to get elected. So the system is, besides myself working for the party to be in government, every candidate in a locality or in a district, which may be for 25,000 votes, you will get about an average of 8 to 10 candidates from the same party working to get elected for 2 or 3 seats in parliament, that you have to actually go to each and every person and tell him, not only vote for my party, also vote for me. And the egoistic part of it will help the turnout to be even larger.
We have a very complex system. It was given to us and the Irish by the British. Mm-hmm. And the aim behind the system was the famous divide and rule. In 1921, the British gave us a constitution which provided the single transferable vote system, which Honorable Ajous has just explained. So in Malta, you don't vote for a party, but you vote for an individual. The aim behind that was to keep parties out of the picture. In fact, the first time that the word party ever surfaced in our electoral law was in 1987. Prior to 1987, from 1921 to 1987, there was no mention whatsoever of the word party in our electoral law. You just had one vote, and you voted for individuals in preference. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You can cross parties. You can vote for my colleague here, number one, and then you vote number two to the other party. And your number three, if there's a third party, you can vote for that. Following the election of 1981, it was the first time when there were candidates who belonged to a particular party, which at that time was the Nationalist Party, who had more first preferences than the party who got the most chairs. So that, I believe rightly so, was considered to be a freak, a crisis situation, whatever you like. So in 1987, it was the first time that we ever had the word party within our system. And it's been fine-tuned. Every time we have some freak result, we fine-tune it. But with a small population, with a 65 seat, whereas my colleague has explained, it's 13 districts, which share only 5 seats, we always fine-tune it. For my sins, I have been involved in its fine-tuning for the last 4 or 5 times.
Mr. Chairman, excuse me, please. Not all members of the delegation speak so good English, because in the early GDR, the most people had learned Russian and not English. And so I will give our interpreter a little chance to translate your ideas, your things in a short form. Würden Sie es also mal kurz zusammenfassen? Ja, sicher, auf Deutsch.
It depends on the subcultures of every family and every part of the society. But these are the main three issues that everybody discuss from now and again. It depends on the season. If there's the World Cup or the European Cup, everybody discusses football. If then elections comes, everybody discusses politics. If summer is approaching, everybody will start to discuss the feast, and he's an expert in fireworks and all the other things that he's a very... involved also in his local feast. Everybody is involved a little bit or another.
Okay, as I think has been referred to already, the size of parliament is 65, because it is 5 seats from every district, and there are 13 districts. But there is also what we call the corrective mechanism. The corrective mechanism is the system whereby additional seats are added to that party which would not have enough seats in proportion to the total number of votes that the party would have acquired. So, for instance, in the present parliament, even though, of course, it was a very decisive victory for the Labour Party in office, but it was still more seats than the proportionality of votes. And therefore, 4 extra seats were allocated to the Nationalist Party, and because of that, the size of Parliament went up to 69. The corrective mechanism always works by allocating more seats, not getting anybody out.
You are generous.
Yes. Yes.
Well, another question. How many members not in Parliament in your party? How many members?
Paid members.
Mm.
paid or members in the party, Labour and
thousands. I'm not sure we have
paid members. I don't know about my colleagues here, but I would say it's the same thing. Usually, it ranges around paid members.
Yes.
Ranges around 30,000. I would say for both parties, paid members. No.
30 each. Yes.
But that's I mean paid up members. 60 paid up members. Yes. I would. Yes, I would.
Maybe if you add them together, it might be 58 because you have some duplicates.
Probably yes.
But I think both parties have around 100,000 loyal voters. Yeah. That's my calculation. Both parties have these loyal voters that come what may, they will still vote for their party.
Mm. And in Germany, one member party and nearly between 50 and 100 voters. One member, paid member of party.
No. Here it's about, if you take the voting population, presently it's around 360, 380, I would say, because obviously it varies. It's about 1 in 6. One in 6 of every voters is a paid-up member. 1 in 6, 1 in 7.
Sure, we have 88 members of the parliament and 87, sorry. We have a parliament revolution. We have, and so the normal number of voters for one seat in the parliament is around about between 30,000 to 50,000.
Here it's what? 3,500, Cam? 4,000.
4,000.
I don't want to be too technical. I mean, I can speak on elections till tomorrow, okay? So, with us, it is also a system where if there are 24,000, I'll make a simple example. If there are 24,000 valid votes in a district, right? You don't make the 24,000 to be elected divided by 5, but you divide it by 6, okay? And then you add 1. So basically, 16%, to be exact, almost 17% of valid votes are technically not represented in Parliament. Technically. Because then, as my Honourable Francis Amite Mek has explained, there is the corrective mechanism. But technically, mathematically, 16.7% of all voters are not represented in Parliament. It's complex, but that's how it works.
Mr. Chairman, in the next year, Malta has a presidency in the European Council, and normally we have in each half year the ambassador of the country of the presidency in our committee, and he explained the targets of the presidency. Can you explain us in a short form anything of the Maltesian presidency, the targets and the problems? I think problems are enough to solve.
Yeah, I have that prepared. So it will be.
I know it.
Yeah. Well, obviously we'll do our best as a country to build out on an 18-month process. Okay, so we will not sort of start the trio again ourselves, but it will be a part. Obviously, the Mediterranean, we will focus on the Mediterranean. I think that is to be expected. Solidarity in Europe. I don't mean solidarity merely in the field of migration, which, yes, the migration issue will definitely be high on our agenda. We had Mr. Andropoulos, yesterday evening, who is the EU Commissioner on Migration and Related Issues. Very frank discussion, I must say. So the migration issue will definitely be something which we will bring to the fore. It is something which we believe in. It's something which affects all Europe, I think, now. And that is something where definitely there will be a much more emphasis. An issue about Europe being more dynamic in the sense that, yes, we can change, we can adapt, we can provide for our people's needs. I think they used to say that the world used to change in every 10 years. The world changes overnight. Look at 9/11. I know it's history now, but it's reality. So, yes, we will push towards a dynamic Europe, especially so far as providing for needs. An inclusive Europe, and we would like to see that it will not be just lip service, but that it will be something where we can deliver. Obviously, then our presidency will have its own peculiarities. Brexit will obviously be an issue with all of us, not only with us. Only last week, or was it this week? Last week, we had the main negotiator on Brexit here in Malta. Smart Europe in the sense that we can not make a SWOT analysis, but rise to the opportunities which are out there. And I think that we, as a country, together, this is not a partisan issue. It's a country issue. As a country, all of us would like to go down in history of having been constructive towards a more social, more dynamic, a better and more inclusive Europe. I think those are the main issues. Needless to say, there will be the other issues like digital market, which is very much to the fore. Other main issues which are necessarily part of the presidency. But if you ask where our trust will be, migration, there will be a trust on migration issue, a trust also on the Mediterranean region, and two other main trusts, solidarity in Europe and Europe being more inclusive in every sense of the word. And then there are other issues which will necessarily come up, which only time can tell. It will be a challenge for this country, but a challenge which I'm sure we can meet.
Thank you very much. Can we translate?
Yes, please do.
Mediterrane Bereich, also der Mittelmeerraum, Solidarität in der EU und dort auch zu erwähnen die Migration. Eine europäische Dynamik, letztendlich wechselt die oder ändert sich die Welt heutzutage mittlerweile über Nacht, nicht mehr im 10-Jahres-Turnus. Man steuert ein inklusives Europa an. Brexit wird ein Thema sein, was sicherlich zu beobachten sein wird. Man strebt an ein smarteres Europa. Und als Land, nicht als politische Partei jetzt gesprochen, sondern als Land, möchte man auch anstreben, ein konstruktiveres, ein besseres Europa. Und dazu gibt es noch Themen wie digitale Märkte etc. etc. Es gibt also verschiedene weitere Themen, Randthemen, die natürlich dazukommen und weitere Situationen, die sich letztendlich im Laufe der Zeit ergeben werden, die man auf sich zukommen lassen muss.
Yeah, thank you. A problem, especially in Germany, we have the connection with the financial crisis. Mr. Draghi floats the world with money, paper money, not with gold money. And we have the situations that we have in Germany, any banking institutions who have a negative mortgage. And it is a very problem for older people, for the security for the old ages, because the money loss. And have you any ideas to solve this problem, that we have a real growth up of the economy? On our other side, we have not a deficiency in the financial situation, especially in for people who had only a little bit of money in the bank, and looks that this money should solve her all the situation.
You, maybe I put in some comments on that point. You obviously touch on a very sensitive issue, and it's an issue which all of Europe needs to address, maybe beyond Europe, because now it is for a very long time that the value of money is no longer pegged to gold. There is the famous big change, no, from the famous original agreement about how money should be regulated. But now you need new regulatory structures. And I think what we need to be doing together in the European Union is to make sure that there are regulatory structures which are protecting investors, which are emphasizing the right ratios, the right resilience tests, and tests also of the entire system, how it operates. And at the same time, ensure that the growth that is being generated economically, I mean, this is also an issue of domestic politics in many countries, filters well to the whole population. Because in a system where the measurement is solely based on the growth, that does not necessarily reflect itself into how different segments will relate to it. And that will then merge the economic with the social policy. So it's not an easy challenge. And I think it is one about which there are whole textbooks now, but we need to be addressing it together. Yes.
Well, we have two big forms in the financial politics. We have the austerity form, especially like the northern members of the EU, and the politic give more money into the in the government's budget, and give more money in the financial markets. Which way you will support in the forum of the presidency?
Good. I to carry on with my intervention, I hope I reflect the opinion of both sides of the House in this respect. I think the position of Malta, consistently irrespective of who has been in government, has been to avoid the austerity route.
Something which
we have. I think we are in agreement on that, to go for the growth route. And again, if one looks at the whole growth of economics in our system, in the what is also known as the Western system or the capitalist system, now it's not a word I particularly like, because I also think you need breaks to ensure that there is social justice as well. So it's not the total free market, but more of a social market approach, and I think that also reflects the opinion of both sides of the House. However, you cannot really achieve it through austerity, because then you create a trap. No? I mean, you reduce, and because you reduce, you're earning less. Because you're earning less, there are more people unemployed. Because there are more people unemployed, they want more social security. Once again, you don't cope. So once again, you go on austerity package number two, and so on and so forth. Now, admittedly, there are many analysts who say that even the other route could be a trap, because how can we keep on producing? Will there be customers forever? Will there be resources forever? So maybe we need to strike some balance. And the balance would be, for instance, part of it, and this is also part of the laws of Malta, that you need now to have this ratio between what a country borrows and what a country spends. the famous percentage of GDP ratio, no? And Malta is doing well in that regard. But within those ratios, I think you need to keep investing, and you need to keep also identifying new areas of activity, because stagnation can also result if you all simply look at the old formulas, of the old methods. And we are living in very revolutionary times, you know? I mean, it's not just the industrial revolution and information revolution and the age of knowledge and computerization next phase and so on and so forth. So somehow we need to strike these balances. But certainly our role would not be austerity-oriented, no. Sorry, I spoke. I think she needs to pass it.
Dass es die auch in Deutschland dran gibt, die letztendlich staatliche Hilfe brauchen, wo die Ersparnisse der Bürger hier und da ja letztendlich nicht berücksichtigt wurden und nicht mehr sichergestellt waren. Alle bleiben da drum und die Frage war, wie stellt sich Malta im Rahmen der EU-Präsidentschaft zum Thema der Finanzkrise? Wie sieht man das? Ziel in diese Richtung wäre sicherlich nicht geprägt von einer Politik des Einsparens, des Sparsamkeits, weil letztendlich durch Einsparen, wenn man immer nur spart und Menschen weniger gibt, die Rente weniger ist, die man weniger zum Ausgeben hat, wird man letztendlich auch die Wirtschaft runter. Die Einsparpolitik sieht man nicht als das ideale Werkzeug an, aber auch das Gegenteil, das kontinuierliche Wachstum könnte genauso gut eine Frage darstellen. Herr Vorsitzender,
The chairman has arrived, so I'll introduce you and then he can take over.
Honorable Luciano Busetti is actually our chairman. I was just filling in. If I can add just two comments to what my colleague was saying earlier on. As a country, we have been somewhat lucky. Even when the crisis hit in 2008, our banks have been based since the beginning of the banking system on the British system. So our banks, you could never get a full mortgage in Malta. If you're buying something, the bank will only give you a percentage. No such thing like in the States where you buy something for 10 euros and the bank will lend you 11. So our banks were very cautious. So luckily in 2008, yes, we were hit, but not so much as other countries. Now that conservative approach has been retained. Even when directives from the European Union came in, like money laundering. I happen to have worked in a bank for 34 years, so I know what I'm saying, for my sins as well. They were already in place. So in that effect, we were lucky. But yes, I mean, nowadays, money a bank will give you nothing in return, even here. So that is something where we'll need to be more inclusive. As a direction for the presidency, it will not be definitely not austerity-based. And we have been lucky to have had very good growth during these last 3 years, 6% in one particular year, 5%. We are aiming at another 5% this year, fingers crossed. And that has not been based on austerity. On caution, yes, but not on austerity.
I agree with you. The absolutely austerity, it's like a cat who it bites in his own tail. Und können Sie ganz kurz übersetzen?
What's your opinion or your wishes to the European Union or especially Germany in migration policy?
Okay. Spokesperson,
I'm the opposition spokesperson, but I think again we have a bipartisan approach here. I'll respond to that, and if I can then excuse myself, I'll have to leave this meeting because I need to be speaking in plenary on a law which is close to my heart about the Maltese language. Well, what is the approach we hope for? I mean, we as a small country have been very much affected in a very disproportionate manner. Because the only way we find effective to describe the migration issue in Malta is to extrapolate the figures of people who used to arrive at the moment. They are not, that is correct. But to extrapolate the number over the years in relation to the size of our population and in relation to our geographic area. And then you would be talking in terms of millions if you extrapolate that to Germany or France or wherever. So what is now obviously required is to have a solidarity mechanism which works. And as I had opportunity even to point out yesterday to the Commissioner Avramopoulos, who is responsible, of course, for the sector, but it's, what I will say now is certainly not any fault of his because he is trying his best. If we went for a symbolic program of relocation and resettlement, and he mentioned the famous figure of 160,000, Malta's number was very even more symbolic in that, about just over 100 in all. And we've done all our duty, or in the process of doing all our duty. But then we know that the latest figure of actual take-up is about 8,000, 152,000 short, and even 160,000 is not enough. So we need your support. And Germany, and I think Germany, mainstream politicians, at least in general, you've been sticking your necks out for European values, for what we stand for solidarity, you know. And we're doing it here. So we need to cooperate more together so that by placing migration, by the way, Malta will place migration as a very prominent item on the agenda during the Malta presidency, to try to at least achieve the target which is supposed to be achieved by end September, and to try to have a solidarity mechanism which works. Now, there are other issues, but I don't have the time to go into them. We need to refine the common asylum policy. We need to update Frontex. We need a more effective common border control system. You need all that package, and you also need an effective return policy to balance the relocation and the resettlement by the agreements with the third countries, right? But anyway, that's our line, and it's a major item on the Malta presidency agenda. And your help and your solidarity with Malta, and solidarity, of course, with countries at the moment affected, like Italy and Greece, is crucial. And let's hope we explain it in those terms, because as the Commissioner pointed out to us, now I will quote him, not myself, we are really talking of European values and European project, because this can lead to the collapse of the whole project if we are not careful about it. Anyway, on that note, excuse me, but I need to fulfill now another duty in the plenary of the House, okay? But thank you.
Thank you. If I may, first of all, I would like to apologize for arriving at this late hour, but I was held up. I don't know, but we parliamentarians are not full-time members of Parliament, so I was held up by another meeting, another case, so I couldn't make it on time. I'm sure that my colleague here has gone through the key priorities of the Maltese presidency and the meetings that are going to be held here in Parliament, starting January next year with the COSAC meetings, first the chairpersons of the Foreign Affairs Committees, and then the plenary will be held in May. In between, this committee will also chair the Interparliamentary Committee on Security and Foreign Security and Defense Policy. And as my colleague Franz Zamedemek pointed out, migration features on all of these meetings, and we felt that we had to stress on migration as being one of the priorities, considering the fact that there are some European countries who are not and the same line of thought with the remaining European Union regarding solidarity and regarding migration. In fact, this is one of the most difficult, I believe, obstacles we all have as a union. In fact, during the last meeting in Bratislava, we had an issue. We were even supported by the German members of parliament present there so that we can highlight the importance of the relocation program. And I mentioned the fact that solidarity, when being members in the European Union, it's like being married. Well, you're either married for in sickness and in health, and for richer and for poor, and well, you cannot decide when your obligations are due and which obligations are not due. And considering the fact that when you're married and you're a man, you're always wrong. So, but anyway, that's something. That's something else. But what I meant is that when you have obligations, you cannot choose which obligations. So if we really, truly are a European Union, our message is that we have to think about solidarity as a concept as a whole, affecting everything and everyone, not just our money, because every European country was very eager to use solidarity when trying to save the euro during the economic crisis, but we don't see the same thoughts when it comes to saving lives and giving people who are trying to find a better future in our Europe, because after all, we're all victims of our own success. Because nowhere in the world, maybe in the United States of America, but nowhere else in the world you can feel a human being with all the dignities, rights and freedoms of the individuals that we have here in the European Union, and especially the opportunities that one can have for a better life. However, I believe that throwing money at the problem is not the solution. Countries, especially like Malta, needs support, even financial support, but that's not the solution. And unless, in my humble opinion, we are one true union on this matter, whatever we decide, but we decide together, we go for it together as one union, we won't find a solution to the problem of illegal migration. The Mediterranean has seen the problem of migration for many years before it actually reached the heart of Europe. And now with it comes also another problem, that of security and terrorism, threats from terrorist groups that can infiltrate through the flow of migration. So yes, we have a huge problem in front of us. It is challenging our foundations, our ideals, but I don't want to think about having a Europe where there are walls built, I think that's, and where people are labeled and people are kept in places different from anyone else, aside from everybody else. So this is not the Europe that our ancestors built and dreamt about, and this is not the European Union that we have to leave to our children. I think that's my humble opinion, and I believe and I thank Germany for all the support that has given the Mediterranean countries during meetings like the COSAC and the Security and Defense Policy meeting, when we tried to highlight the importance of illegal migration, especially through the Mediterranean. Thank you.
Malta wird wichtige Mittel von Jahr, hat angefangen, weitere kommen dazu, auch Sicherheitspolitik und so weiter. Die Migration hat eine Priorität auf der Agenda für Malta, auch während der EU-Präsidentschaft. Solidarität, die extrem wichtig ist, weil man in Europa letztendlich gemeinsam dazu entschieden hat, Flüchtlinge aufzunehmen, und das ist eine Verpflichtung, die man gemeinsam erfüllen muss, wo man sich nicht, wo Einzelne sich nicht einfach ausziehen können. Malta braucht in diesem Zusammenhang letztendlich auch Unterstützung. Der Mittelmeerraum ist seit vielen Jahren letztendlich mit diesem Thema befasst. Was neuerdings mit dazugekommen ist, ist ein Gewaltpotenzial, was letztendlich auch eingewandert ist. Und es kann keine Lösung sein, dass man ein Europa mit Mauern versieht und und das ist auch nicht das, was man von Malta aus anstreben möchte. Es ist, man möchte eine Solidarität gewinnen und letztendlich auch ein solidarisiertes Europa aus seinen Kindern übergeben möchte.
Last question, Dr. Fischer.
Yes, you made a difference between, or you spoke about legal migration, and so my question is, what is the difference in your opinion between legal and illegal migration? And second question, I think that, of course, distribution system, a working distribution system is one side. Is one point of the solution of the migration crisis. But the other point is, in my point of view, restriction of migration. And do you plan to restrict migration or don't you want to restrict migration? And when, in which ways?
Well, thank you. Well, the difference between legal and illegal migration, well, or irregular migration, to be politically correct, it's very simple. When you're a legal migrant, you have all your papers in place. You are accepted by the other country, and you're given what we call normally a visa to stay in that country, visit, or else even live in that country. Eventually, you're given that. Some people need also protection. Asylum. There are asylum seekers, refugees, who are given that status, depending on the situation in the country of origin. And irregular migration, we all know what it is. We've seen people crossing borders, but when there are no borders, you cannot close them. We cannot build walls around Malta, because Malta is surrounded by the sea. So our duty is always that of Malta, Italy, France, Germany, all those, and Greece. Greece, sorry, that's, I said Germany, I was thinking about Greece, all the countries that are facing the Mediterranean Sea, the routes that come from Africa, we are duty bound to save lives from the sea. And by saving lives, we have to get the people in our shores. So we cannot actually restrict migration. You cannot stop migration. Migration, it's a concept that it's, I think, inherent in human nature. Through history. Well, I've heard people representing Scandinavian countries stating that migration should be stopped, when 1,000 years back people from the same countries had to find better and greener pastures to live, to survive. So migration is inherent in every human being and in every civilization, and therefore you cannot actually stop it. You cannot actually say people cannot cross from one continent to another, or from one place to another. So restricting migration, it is, in theory, could be possible, but in practice it will never, in my opinion, happen. Especially for when you have countries like Malta, back in the years, we had a serious problem here in Malta. When 1,000 people arriving to our shores means like the same, if you compare it to Germany, like 1 million people getting into Germany. So you might try to close borders when you have land dividing two countries, but you cannot restrict people from getting into a boat and arriving into your territory. So there are treaties, international treaties, that put a burden on all of us. As a country, we have relocation treaties with certain African countries, so that the migrants who come here regularly can be returned back to the countries. Obviously, these countries need to be safe places, because if you send back people to countries where they are eventually going to suffer or even face execution or death, then you might even find Amnesty International condemning you for doing that. So one has to be very, very careful. I don't think this has to be a decision that has to be taken by one single country. It has to be a decision that has to be taken by the whole European Union. And that's why I reiterate what I said before. We have a wider stand united, or our very foundations that have built the European Union can be really challenged,
and the whole European project can crumble down.
Just one remark, if I'm allowed. I mean, Australia is also an island, and Australia shows that a very restrictive migration policy may work even if you are an island.
Well,
it's Australia is a continent.
If you compare Australia to Malta, well, it's like comparing a Chihuahua with a Rottweiler. So.
Mr. Chairman, we say very thank you for the deblocking in the political system and in the program of your presidency in the next year. And in the next year, we have as guest your ambassador in Germany. And I think he can say more concrete programs to us. For the God order, in the back, our assistants, without them we cannot make a good politics, and so I thank you for our assistance. And I have a little gift for you.
Yes, it's a watch, so yeah. I can come early next time.
The wine in Malta is very good, but if you taste this wine from Germany, from Saxony-Anhalt, you will see it's a very good wine and had not a less taste than your wine here in Malta. And we have another gift. It's from a big composer from the Baroque. Mm-hmm. And if you have any time, please.
I would definitely say one of my favorite musics is classical music. So. Yeah.
Then
have you. Especially with a glass of wine.
You have a good position in migration.
Thank you. We have more work to do now. You are close to the public. And that's why you know the fight against the British has a big wrong thing.
عندي اكلة تخشيني وما انا وربات التمور اما ما لا باشاتريتش امريكانا ما لا A parte di me l'hanno abbassato a fare ieri, dopo l'attenzione d'Ana, Batchley mi sta proposta sottomessa a sussidiarietà di scadere il 5 novembre, però ho dintato tassata alla fine del 8 novembre, essenzialmente la proposta è da testendis min dall'European Fund for Strategic Investments mi letto il 20 del 2020. Le smustessi sindicali, l'ata europea TIAU, per esperienza mixuba, si introduce definizioni sabbisda nel fond jithaddem ahjaro allura l'ahjar l'iskop TIAU. Nistaqsi jekk hemm xi kummenti nitkellmu fuq il-com 2016-597. Illa m'hemmx, kissa għandna dollajtim li miss, Ministru għat-Trasport u Infrastruttura kitbinna li fir-rigward ta' proposal for a regulation of the European Parliament and of the Council on Common Rules in the Field of Civil Aviation and Establishing the European Union Aviation Safety Agency and repealing regulation EC number 216/2008 of the European Parliament and of the Council COM 2015-613 dwar f'kollaborazzjoni ma' l-istess Ministeru. Aħna konna batna reasoned opinion fi frattemp saru l-kjarifiki u bidriet li fil-fatt indirizzaw il-concerns ta' Malta u ta' pajjiżi oħra għal daqsnat Malta kienet se tneħħi riservi u l-oġġezzjoni tagħha ħalli din il-proposta tkun tista' tibqa' għaddejja fil-proċess tagħha. Nasa fidott l-isqarja tal-Ministeru l-azzjoni proposta hija waħda raġunata, nispiċċa bil din informa l-Kumitat, l-Segretarju Parlamentari u Presidenza tal-UE, F-17 Fondi Ewropej se jagħmel preżentazzjoni l-Kumitat tan-National Programme tal-Presidenza tagħna tal-UE tal-fija ta' 7 Diċembru fil-istaġjonata li se jippreżentaħ lill-Kabinet. Grazie.
Assista, grazie.